Hey church, this is Paul. Welcome back to the Disciple SBC podcast. Glad you are listening today. I'm joined by Kelton, and we are going to take a few minutes to discuss prayer and fasting. Kelton, how are you today?
I'm good, Paul. Thanks for having me, and good to talk to you, church.
Yeah, excited to talk about this particular topic. So we are recording this on Wednesday, March 29th. So in just a few days, on Sunday, April 2nd, we'll be having a potluck and a time of feasting to kick off then a week of prayer and fasting through April 2nd through April 8th. And so we wanted to take just a few moments, church, Kelton and I, to talk about why and some ways that you can practice this and hopefully give you some helpful tips as we think together about how we are desiring and seeking the Lord together in prayer and fasting. So Kelton, let me just start with a simple question. Why a week of prayer and fasting?
Yeah, I can imagine some people thinking that there's some particular circumstances, but no, there's no crises. This week we're as always sensitive to the need that we need to seek the Lord in humility, and we thought that it would be a good time to call on the church to particularly do that through prayer and fasting. Hmm. And again, this is optional. This is just the elders of the church calling on, inviting the members of the church to do this. By way of biblical background, there was only one commanded fast in the Old Testament, and that on the Day of Atonement. You can read about that in Leviticus 16. But we see a pattern in the Old Testament of lots and lots of voluntary fasts practiced by God's people, and that's what we aim this to be, a voluntary fast for God's people. An example I thought of was in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. So 2 Chronicles is recording, obviously, the era of the kings, and this is particularly thinking of King Jehoshaphat, who is, facing some enemies, the Moabites and the Ammonites, coming against Jehoshaphat for battle. So in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 3 and 4, it says, "Then Jehoshaphat was afraid and set his face to seek the Lord, and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah assembled to seek help from the Lord. From all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord." So we see there particularly this kind of communal fast. You know, we see individual fasts in the Old Testament, fasts for repentance and other things, but this is particularly a fast among all of God's people, called on by the leaders of God's people, that they might seek the Lord, to seek help from him. And certainly, though we do not face enemies like the Moabites and Ammonites, we do face enemies in our own flesh, in the world, and in the devil. And there is great need for us to seek the Lord's help. So in a similar way, we aim for this week to be similar to what we see here in 2 Chronicles 20 and throughout the Old Testament. Particularly commemorating the events of the week leading up to Resurrection Sunday, leading up to Good Friday, and by calling the church to particular prayer and seeking the Lord in this week.
That's great. So just to reinforce some of those things, it is optional, right? We're not requiring it. This is not a new law, new Day of Atonement feast. As we work our way up to the significance of the atonement, it is a voluntary fasting to help us desire to seek the Lord. Amen. That this is creating in us that yearning for God ever more deeply. Mm-hmm. As we do that, can you just give us some details then about this week of prayer and fasting? What do you hope? What do we as elders hope it will look like?
Yeah, obviously, we hope that prayer and fasting are disciplines that we all as individuals practice regularly. Though I would imagine fasting is something that is more uncommon for most of us. Yeah. So while these are our individual disciplines that we all practice, we hope that this is a time that as a family we can cultivate and grow in these disciplines together. So it's uniquely a time that we're all doing this kind of in unison to build unity. So it's just a common experience that we can go through. But also we really trust that the Lord, as we humble ourselves the Lord's direction, that we would seek him in humility through fasting. We really trust that the Lord hears and will answer our prayers. So, I had in mind James chapter 4, verse 2, that says very clearly that in circumstances you have not because you ask not, right? That particularly some of the blessings that the Lord might be giving to us, we know He gives through the means of our disciplined prayer. So, yes, certainly want to guard against the error that it's not like that fasting is, you know, the secret hidden weapon, you know, that fasting puts our prayers into overdrive and compels God to answer. Rather, it's a discipline given to us by God to help us have focus and self-control in prayer, to cultivate in us a humility as we deny ourselves, those desires of the flesh, which we can get into more. But yeah, we really hope to be this a time of spiritual growth and unity as a church in this season.
Yeah, that's great. And I think that's why it's really significant even for us, as we're not just doing this for a particular crisis, right? So we're not looking for a particular answer on a particular wisdom. Hey, we want to build a building, and so we're gonna fast and pray that God would give us wisdom about how to do
that.
Or we're gonna, you know, we not even necessary, particularly for evangelism, right? We want to see a movement of that. Those are all good things and worthy of this week. But I think it's important for us, as this is kind of the first time that I remember us doing a call like this, at least in recent history, that we're starting it just by saying, no, we need the Lord. We need God.
Amen.
And that, this fasting is not a way to make sure we get an answer to that prayer, but it's a way to help cultivate that desire and self-control in prayer.
Amen.
And then, Lord willing, He'll answer those prayers.
That
as we draw near to Him, we are promised that He will draw near to us. Mm-hmm. As we practice that discipline again and again, I think it's really helpful as we do that together, which then moves us into this practical tips, this idea of practical tips for fasting, since it is something that we probably don't do as often, and it's somewhat unique, therefore, in our life. Can you just give us some practical tips for fasting?
Yeah. I think it'd help to have a biblical definition of fasting for us, because certainly a lot of, you know, for example, diets include, you know, a quote unquote fast.
Yes,
but that's not what we would call a biblical fast, right? That part of the definition of fasting, it must be for the sake of some spiritual purpose. So I would simply define fasting as a voluntarily going without food or any other regularly enjoyed gift from God for the sake of some spiritual purpose. So again, simple definition, fasting is voluntarily going without food or any other regularly enjoyed gift, good gift from God, for the sake of some spiritual purpose.
That's good.
So you hear in that definition that it's normally going without food. That's what we normally think of when we think of fasting. But even the Bible even gives us examples of fasting that isn't just food. It can be any other regularly enjoyed good gift from God. So 1 Corinthians 7 is another example where we see Paul talk about husbands and wives going without marital intimacy for the sake of prayer. So that's a kind of fast that God would commend us by example there in 1 Corinthians 7. So particularly good tips. So particularly if this is your first fast or first fast in a while, we would encourage you to start small, meaning, don't aim to go 24 hours without food or even more or anything like that. Just maybe planning on one day a week or one meal a week, one meal a day, going without that meal and instead spending that time in some concerted spiritual discipline. Starting small.
Yeah, I'm just gonna add in on that. Yeah. So in college, I hadn't fasted for a long time, if at all. And we decided that we were going to do a fast on our dorm. And we said we were going to do 24 hours. So it started at midnight, and we ended with our kind of meeting at midnight. And I was hopeful in some ways. It really did make me feel hungry and try to turn that hunger into feeling for the Lord. But I just remember I ate almost a whole pizza at midnight and immediately regretted that decision. So I think starting small helps us be wary of the temptation to then just go into another sin, kind of coming out of a fast. Yep. So it's not just to fast from it so that you can make it all up next meal.
Yep.
But starting small helps you to protect yourself from that a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Another tip is, every time your body, your natural cravings prompt you to eat, if you're fasting from a meal or from food, or for example, to check Facebook if you decide to fast from social media, that's your body's natural way of directing your desires. We would encourage you, when you feel those things, hunger or a desire to check Facebook, to rather turn in prayer to, for example, pray, Lord, help my heart and soul desire you as easily as my body longs for food or my mind wants to check in on Facebook. So yeah, just that's an easy way throughout the day that you can be turning your fast toward prayer. But that's not all we would encourage you to do, those kind of occasional prayers. We would encourage you to plan what you'll be doing instead of the activity you're fasting from. So if, for example, you're fasting from social media, you know, maybe you decide to spend, I'm going to spend 30 minutes in the evening that I normally would be spending, you know, checking social media throughout the day. I'm going to spend that time in concerted prayer. Or if you're fasting from a meal, say lunchtime, you would spend that hour or however much time you have for lunch in prayer, in reading scripture and in prayer. Also, I think you need to just consider how your fast will affect others, right? So if you're think through your spouse and kids, right? If you plan on fasting from, for example, dinner, but your spouse and kids expect you to be eating dinner with them, right? That's a conversation that you need to have. You know, there are lots of different examples we can multiply, but just as you make this decision, consider how those around you will be affected by that decision and make sure that they're on board, they understand, you know, your expectations, and that you're communicating well with them.
That's even a great chance to just have some conversations with your kids, with your family, if maybe you live with family members who aren't members of the church or near them, or coworkers, those, they see you doing those things. Those are going to just be obvious opportunities to be able to talk about why you're doing this. So give you the chance to engage in some spiritual conversation. So even as you're considering that, be intentional to consider, what can you do to engage in some spiritual conversation about that as you're prepping for it.
And we've kind of said this already, but just to draw an underline under it, you can fast from something other than food. We've given the example of social media, but, you know, if you think that it would be a good idea to refrain from watching TV or participating in other forms of entertainment, or rather than just meals, maybe coffee or another treat maybe that you've found yourself enjoying frequently. Again, those are great opportunities to refrain from those, maybe those particularly for the entire week. And every time, again, you would normally go out on a coffee run or enjoy that treat to make sure that you're spending that time in concerted prayer and seeking the Lord. Every time you find yourself craving those things, to seek the Lord in those things.
Yeah, I think a really helpful question to ask is, what do I not want to give up?
Yeah.
And maybe that is food. That probably for a lot of us, it is food. That's as kind of that regularly enjoyed gift that we, good gift from God that we enjoy. For me, it's a helpful question to think about. What is it that I wouldn't want to give up? Because I treasure it, and that may just be a good way to reveal idols that you have. And even if you don't give it all up or all that, but just being aware of that and I really treasure this, and I need to just be aware of that.
Amen. And the last tip that we would provide is that we've been able to put together a guide for prayer, our prayer and fasting week, which we will have available to the church both in print starting on April 2nd, but also available as a PDF. And we'll be also posting some of the content from that prayer guide to our Facebook and Instagram pages. And that guide will give you five days, Monday through Friday, of prayer ideas. And so each day has a particular focus, and we'll provide scripture for you to read and meditate on. And then we'll have a lot of ideas of things that you can pray for. You certainly do not need to pray for all of them. It's a good number of things. But just to kind of look through that. And then, you know, there's spot in that guide for you to write down, if you have the print version, your own prayer requests and things you want to be praying for. So it's often intimidating when we're jumping into a discipline in such a concerted way that you might not know what to pray for. So I think having that kind of prayer guide ready to go on hand throughout the week will make it easier for you to pray throughout the day.
Yeah, that's great. Well, thank you for those tips, and I just encourage you, church, that even if you choose not to fast for whatever reason, and still get that prayer guide and pray with us and take time to be more concerted in prayer with us as we go. I would encourage you that if there are prayer requests that you have, that things that you think about, hey, I really want to pray for this. This is something that I'm yearning for, and so I'm going to use this week to pray for that, to share that with your pastors. We'd love to pray with you in that. Yes. Yeah, Kelton, Elliot, and I would love to. We'll have an elders meeting that week, and so yeah, if you can share that with us at the beginning of the week, we'll be sure to pray with you and for you on Tuesday night at our elders meeting. So
yeah, it's maybe worth mentioning then that our Wednesday night study, instead of the normal Bible study, we'll be having a time of prayer as a church.
Yeah,
during that normal 7 o'clock hour that Wednesday.
Yeah. That's great. So, church, I hope this has been encouraging, informative. I encourage you, if you want to learn more about prayer and fasting, you can go to our website. Right on the homepage, there's a little box that says Week of Prayer and Fasting. Click on that. That'll take you to a page on our website where you have the guide you can download, where you can have some resources that teach you about what fasting is, and just some more written up things about prayer and fasting and what we're calling upon for this week. So let me encourage you to do that, and may God use this week for the betterment of our souls, for the greater desire in Him, and that we may seek His face. And if He has not spared His own Son, what will He not give us?
Amen.
Thanks, church.